Turning now to a virus of the medical variety, more than 1,300 cases of West Nile have been reported in the U.S. so far this year. 19 people have died, and both numbers are certain to climb in the next few weeks, the time of year when people are most likely to encounter mosquitoes carrying the virus. Yet, experts insist that the risk of dying or becoming seriously ill from West Nile is remarkably small. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Lois Levitan has the difficult job of explaining why people shouldn't be terrified of a virus that could kill them. Levitan directs the Environmental Risk Analysis Program at Cornell University. She often tells people to think about the risk of West Nile this way.
Last year was the biggest known outbreak of any such disease in the United States, and the numbers there of fatalities were somewhat fewer than 300. And that's more or less the ballpark, a few hundred, which is similar to the number of people who die every year in the United States from lightning strikes.
So Levitan says it makes sense to take precautions, but not to see West Nile as a major threat to public health. One reason for the fear of West Nile is that early on, the only people known to have the infection were those who ended up in the hospital, often near death. That made it look like every West Nile infection was life-threatening. Levitan says now there's wider testing for the infection, the picture is changing.
What I noticed in the statistics from this year is that about half of those are actually what are considered more mild cases, because as there's more research interest in West Nile and trying to understand the whole picture, and as things have calmed down a bit about it, apparently the medical community is testing people who just are not feeling well.
And people who have acquired the virus but have no symptoms aren't tested at all. This means the vast majority of infected people will never show up in government statistics. Levitan says that nearly everyone in the U.S. gets bitten by mosquitoes from time to time, but only a very small percentage even get the virus. And less than 1% of those actually get sick enough to be included in the official tally kept by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Another reason West Nile frightens people is its rapid spread across the nation. That has produced a stream of alarming reports about new outbreaks. Philip Alcabas is an urban health expert at the City University of New York's Hunter College. He says tracking these new outbreaks is important, but it's comforting to look at places where West Nile has been around for several years.
In New York City, where I live, there were 46 cases in 1999, and then 14 the following year, 7 in 2001, 30 last year, and so far I think there's been one confirmed case, maybe it's two. That's not the picture you would get for an epidemic that's rapidly intensifying. That's not what we saw with AIDS 20-something years ago, for instance.
Alcabas says one major reason things haven't been worse is that West Nile isn't really a human epidemic at all.
It's an animal epidemic. The human cases that occur are fallout. They're sort of accidents of the system that's trying to extend the infection of animals by the virus.
Bad news for birds and horses, but good news for humans. During last year's West Nile season, a few people became infected through blood transfusions. That raised questions about the safety of the nation's blood supply. This year, things should be different.
Since early July, every blood unit collected in the United States has been tested for the presence of the West Nile virus.
That's Roger Dodd, president of the American Association of Blood Banks. He says that tests on more than 1 million units of blood this year found only about 160 that contained West Nile virus and had to be thrown away. Dodd says the testing program not only protects the blood supply, it's giving scientists a new way to track the epidemic. And the results of that tracking are relatively reassuring.
On the basis of this information, we feel that this year's epidemic right now is not greatly different from the one that occurred last year in terms of the numbers of cases.
If that's true, West Nile deaths will remain almost as rare as deaths from lightning strikes. Lois Levitan of Cornell University says that doesn't mean people should ignore the risk. She points out that people take precautions against getting struck by lightning, and it makes sense to take steps to avoid West Nile, too.
There's some smart things that we can do. Make sure that there's no murky standing water around. Empty out the flower pots, try to control the outbreak of the mosquito early in the season while it's still in the larval stage.
And, of course, cover up or use insect repellent in areas with lots of mosquitoes. John Hamilton, NPR News.